Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
It's a scene from one of the Narnia movies called Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And there we see Eustace, the boy who is kind of being a little bit mean, a little bit snarky, right? Telling his cousins, Lucy and Edmund, that they were wasting their time with the fanciful thoughts about a place called Narnia. And now if you've read the series, if you kind of know that this isn't one of those times where they enter into Narnia through the wardrobe, but this is a later series part of the book. But I love this imagery of the idea that Lucy and Edmund have some kind of knowledge that maybe Eustace doesn't have, but that they have this framework that they can see in the picture that there is something else happening. And inside of that framework, then, when it starts to come alive, they step into that story. Throughout the summer, we've kind of been doing that. We've been building the frame around our story. And so, you know, as we looked at the beginning of the summer and we started talking about Genesis and we talked about how God is bigger than big and closer than close. We talked about the way that God is this transcendent God that set everything into motion through creation, but also that God is that God that will then journey with us and have community with us, even in the garden. And we've traveled from there to the covenant that God makes with God's people, to the friction in Egypt that then got them to move out into the wilderness, to the way that God continues to provide even when it felt like there was no hope. And through the prophets, God speaks these words of hope that consistently come time and time again, and that oftentimes we think that our way is better than God's way. And so we make this framework that then informs our story or draws bounds around the story that we find ourselves in. And then, like that clip, you know, we have this opportunity to see that there isn't just this static picture that we're looking at, that our scripture isn't just a book of stories or 66 kind of smaller books of the way that we should live our lives, but it's also an invitation to step in and take our mark as actors on God's stage. And so today is that day. Last week, like Jillian talked about, Ben preached last week about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so, like, that's kind of a big deal. And we truncated, like, again, long story short, right? That there was this game changer that was born in this kind of off to nowhere little space where nobody knew, nothing could ever come that would be good from Bethlehem. And this Jesus then changes the life of the entire world and the way that we know the world interacts and happens. And so from that place, then there's this resurrection. And Jesus says, gives marching orders and then leaves. And I think that there's this, so we kind of come to this place where we're standing there, where we've been with Jesus, where we know Jesus, the disciples have known, and then he's gone. And that's kind of hard, right? Like we just finished an intensive doctoral program on theology and how to do life together, and now our professor is gone, and what do we do? And the marching orders, I want to read it all together so that we can kind of get it. So get your bulletins out, because there's this passage of scripture called the Great Commission that Jesus calls us to. And I want to look for that today. And so let's just read that verse of the day together. Just put a finger up in the air when you got it and ready. I don't want to pass. Back table, you guys have it memorized? Fantastic. Okay, good finger choices. Okay, here we go. Verse of the day, let's read it all together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? So, like, that's it. He's like, this is what you need to do. I'm out. See you later. And so what does that look like? What does that look like for us today as we kind of step into that new story that we find ourselves, that the story has come up to us and we are there in that space and we look around? And I think that what we end up doing is we go back to some of those things that have previously been talked about. Like Jillian was saying, that oftentimes the you know, some of the religious people or the disciples were talking about what is most important, which one of us is most important, which are the rules that are most important. And oftentimes it feels like, I want to know which rules are most important so I can follow those most important rules so that then I can have some kind of power or feel better about myself over other people, right? That's why we want to know what rules are best, yeah? But Jesus goes, okay, so there are 612 or 613 laws, depending on which rabbi you follow, in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. And Jesus goes, let me tell you, the greatest law is to love God. And the second is just as important, love your neighbor. And so he takes all of those rules, all of that law, and he just kind of compresses them all down into this kind of twofold command of love God and love your neighbor. And they are inexorably linked, because if we are called to love God and we know that God is love and that there is such connection between who God is and God's creation and all of us, that then we can't help, if we are authentically loving God, then we can't help but love God's people. Right? That's something to remember this week, right? Especially when people are getting on your last nerve, that if I am to love God first, if I'm authentically loving God, it means that I'm going to also love God's people as myself. And so we look at that, and we look at this greatest command, and we see that all of these rules hang on this one that Jesus talks about, that he doesn't then, he kind of resets this whole holiness understanding, that if I follow the law, then I'll be holy, and then we can rank and look and see scores and things like that. It's not about gold stars, but it's about the way that we are loving God and loving others in an authentic way that brings about change and transformation. And it also acknowledges the sacred worth of our neighbor, even when we're frustrated. I told Ben that one of the parts that I truncated from today's scripture is even those people that frustrate you, one of the passages that quotes a Hebrew Bible section is that it says, you know, don't persecute your enemies, but instead do good to them, because it's like heaping coals upon their head, right? It's like Jesus's way of going, hey man, if you smile at your enemy and don't let them know that it's getting under your skin, that is worse than actually giving them an eye for an eye type of justice. Like, that's God's kind of snarky response to things sometimes, right? But we see that this way that we are called then to live, the love God and love neighbor, that's what discipleship's all about. And that's what our whole next series is going to be talking about, kind of hashing out what this all looks like. But if we are to love God and love our neighbor, and even ourselves in that, because sometimes we forget ourselves, this is the kind of living sacrifice that Romans talks about, that the way that God says, I don't want your burnt offerings or your empty songs, or I want your heart. And so as we start to step into our story, we start to step in saying, God, here's my heart. I'm going to trust you in a way that starts to make my life a living sacrifice, a living offering to you, so that in all that I am and all that I do, I reflect you so that others might see and know that I am yours and that you are a God of love. Now, in my kind of years of trying to live this out, I've, of course, day to day done it better or worse than others, and kind of trying to follow this path in my personal story, this introverted guy who would much rather be behind a desk at times or out on the river or, you know, in the nature where my cell phone doesn't work, I somehow have then answered this call to stand up in front of people at least on a weekly basis and talk publicly, because that's what introverts love to do, right? But if I'm loving God and loving people, it's brought me to this place, and a few years ago, kind of living into this command and call that God has placed on my life, I would oftentimes find myself in auditoriums and things like that speaking to high schoolers. And so last week, my family and I had an opportunity then to go and worship together, which is kind of a bananas thing for the Bishop family because my wife is preaching in Brunswick. I'm here. And so we were there together, and it was this wonderful experience. But after worship, this lady just came up to me, and I couldn't tell you who she is, but she kind of slipped me this note, like on the down low. So I was a little bit weirded out. And like tears in her eyes, she looks at me and she says, "You have no idea the impact that you have had on my son." I go, like, what do you say to that, right? So I have it here again. Remember, introvert, super awkward. And I go, "Well, thanks. Have a good day." Right? It was awfully awkward. But then I go back and we look, and it's in my pocket. And like, and Katie looks at me. And she goes, "Dude, who's that lady?" I was like, "I don't know." But I opened this note up, and it's this letter about how, because I was talking to these high schoolers in a way that is meaningful and authentic to me, because I didn't look like a typical pastor, because I had sandals on or whatever, right? Because of all of these things, she opens the note with, "My son is alive because of you. That my kid is part of the church because of you. Because before you, he had never seen someone who is living an authentic faith. And so he stuck with it." Now, I don't know who her son is, but she told me in the note a little bit of detail. But the fact of the matter is that discipleship of loving God and loving others looks like us embracing our humanity more fully in a way that then we don't even sometimes know the connection that has been made. And so it was, you know, this kind of interesting connection and movement from this lady kind of slipping me this note to worshiping with me. It was this reminder that we are disciple makers no matter where we go. And so, you know, thinking about that, thinking about these marching orders, I think so I have my marching orders. I bet that I can do this faith thing on my own. At least that's what I thought, like, when I was in high school and most of college was, well, look, man, like, if I have these marching orders, clearly I got this note from this lady that says, haha, like I'm helping people. And so anybody with me that ever thought that, like, I don't need a church, I can do this on my own, you can be honest and raise your hand. I promise that I'm not gonna judge you too much. So but here's the thing, right? Like, I think that the honest answer is you can, but you can't. It's kind of like trying to drive blindfolded, right? That, like, technically you can, but you're going to get off track pretty quickly. That technically you can, but you're going to see, just like if we're called to love God, we also then love God's people. That if we're called to be disciples and make disciples, that then we're going to need to have a community that comes alongside of us, because we don't want to be spiritually stuck in the driveway or quickly getting off track too quickly, right? And so when with the faith community, we stay grounded and we serve, we find that kind of sweet spot that we can, you know, if I'm really great at one piece of being the body of Christ, just like Ben's scripture read for us today, that there are some of us who are really generous and generosity is a gift. And man, we go into that. Some of us are teachers, and man, that's great that you don't have to try to pretend to be someone that is gifted in generosity, because you're a teacher. And all of these things work together so that we might then be the people that move along our story together. That in all of this, the story that we find ourselves helps ground us and keep us on track with where God would have our next step fall. That's why we're so much of the, you know, faithful next steps here at Faith Point. And so when we think about that, we think about the way that yeah, we can individually do our thing. But the early church had that problem too, right? They said, you know, I'm an apostle of Paul, I'm an apostle of Apollos or whoever. And the reality is, we go, no, man, we're all part of this, what my wife calls the big God family. I love that. I love that language. It reminded me, so we were at the beach last week, and there was this guy that we met. His name was JR. And he had, his son was just celebrating his one-year-old birthday, which is super adorable and cute. But, like, he was always around this gaggle of the Posey family, because it was on my wife's side, right? And they are like, they bring, wherever they go, they bring the party to them. They're like that beach family, right, with spike ball or playing in the waves or whatever it is. And this guy, Jared, was just just for the first couple of days, just always kind of lurking on, not lurking, that sounds creepy, but like around the edges. Just you knew that he wanted to come in. You knew that he wanted to participate. You knew that he was thinking, man, when my kid gets to be this age where we can build sandcastles, we go out in the waves, man, that is going to be amazing. And you could just see that he wanted to be in because the way that we were doing the beach was the most fun. Right, was the most vacation that you could be. And he's looking at his watch going, we only have a couple more days, but it would be great if I could just like hop in the pool and play the games in the pool with them. And so eventually my brother-in-law is just like, man, come on, just hang out. And he goes, really? Like, yeah, come on, it's all good. And he looks and then he just kind of hung out, played some games with us. And he goes, but I don't want to leave. Like, I don't want to neglect my family to kind of be absorbed by yours. And the response from them, my mother-in-law, is, we're just one big family at the beach. It's all good. Like, how cool is that, right? Like, that's like beach discipleship. That's like what we are called to do as disciples in the making, is that we invite others in by embracing who we are. Theologian Andrew Root writes this when he talks about kind of our Christian call. He says, Christians together seek not to transcend their humanity or personhood of each, but to celebrate it as a gift of God. As Christians, we are to embrace our humanity and to live and celebrate who we are. Now, I don't know about you, but I've met many people, and myself included, who have church hurt in their past primarily because of people who are trying to transcend or get out of their personhood and trying to be holier than thou, is the language we use at church sometimes, right? Is that they think that they are better. They think that instead of just embracing the humanity and realizing the gift that God has given us in being people. It's kind of awesome, right? And that we see that maybe the most powerful way that we can share the gospel is actually sharing life together. It's ways that we can go and get coffee together and things like that. There is no better way to share the gospel than to share authentic life together, because it rubs up against and it rubs off of those other people. And so I mentioned in the prayers that that we partner with New Hope this week, in part because there's some storm, like last week, I guess, killed our copier for all practical purposes. And it's whatever. And the guy came, he's like, oh, I don't have the part. And I was grumpy. But that's me being an old guy being grumpy. And so I went and we printed our bulletins at New Hope, because on Thursday I had to be the ringleader of their VBS, because Katie was out doing food bank stuff, right? And so I was there and I was kind of getting ready, and there was this little girl who was probably second or third grade or so, and she's up at the microphone and she's doing she is parroting my wife, because Katie always says, all right, friends, park your tail feathers. And so she's up there and she somehow got Katie's little hat and fanny pack on, and she's got a microphone. And she's like, okay, friends, park your tail feathers. Except she said, raise up your tail feathers, which is a totally different thing. But like park your tail feathers. Now we're going to do this and we're going to sing this song. And I said to her, why don't you just do my job for me tonight? But the beautiful part about Ruby taking on that role of being Pastor Katie was that when we do life authentically, we make disciples in a way that no program or curriculum can. When we do life together authentically, we share what God's hope is with us when we embrace that humanity. We invite other people who are looking outside in going, man, I really kind of want to be a part of that party. And then when they go, well, what about my family too? And we say, no, 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 no. It's all about when we step into that picture frame, we know the framework and we know that God is a gracious God. And so we say, bring everybody. And so it gets us back to that kind of question, our first steps question of how are you inviting other people into the big God family today? Because there is someone that you know who is longing and looking for a place where they belong, where their belonging isn't dependent on how far that they can throw or how much they make or anything else, but we just say, this is how we church. You belong here. You have bad puns, that's okay. We'll set you behind the soundboard instead of in front of the microphone, right? You can serve in whatever way with kids, with those who find your sweet spot. because in this place, you can call it home, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for this day, for the way that you could have just written the story, but instead you invite us into the frame to make our mark, to hit our mark, and even when we are off our mark, God, your grace abounds. We give you thanks for those that we have prayed for today who start their college journey, for those who have come so long and so far, we give you thanks for the way that you call us to be in community, loving you and loving others. Not trying to get outside of our humanity, but fully embracing it, knowing that that is what Jesus meant when he said that he has come to offer this life abundant. God of grace and peace, we offer all of these prayers up to you today. And all the people said, Amen. Let's stand and sing.